The Nazi Roots of the Brussels EU. Chapter 5. Enforcing the Dictatorship in Europe. As was described in Chapter 3, the oil and drug cartel's design for the Brussels EU was closely based upon the blueprint published in 1941 by Arno Salter, the head of the official Nazi Central Research Institute for National Economic Order and Greater Sphere Economy. Perhaps not surprisingly, therefore, the basic strategies being used to enforce the Brussels EU dictatorship are directly descended from those used by the Nazis following the adoption of the Cartel's Enabling Act by the German Parliament in 1933. One of the cartel's key goals in the 1930s and 40s was to turn Europe into a totalitarian society, under which any and all opposition to the Nazi regime could be eliminated. To achieve this, the Nazis had to engage in massive surveillance of the population. The agencies primarily charged with carrying out these activities in Germany were the Security Service and the Staatspolizei, the secret state police, also known as the Gestapo. Because the wiretapping technologies available at that time were very limited, however, these agencies were very much dependent upon the activities of informants and the willingness of ordinary people to denounce one another. In the Brussels EU today, modern 21st century technologies have made the creation of a European surveillance state a vastly simpler proposition. Through the monitoring of citizens' communications made by telephone, cell phone, email and internet and increasingly widespread use of high-tech surveillance devices, the cartel's long-cherished goal of establishing a totalitarian society in Europe is now coming within sight. The Data Retention Directive, passed in 2006, forces all 27 member states in the Brussels EU to ensure that telephone companies, internet service providers, and other communication companies store and retain all communications data for a minimum of no less than 6 months and for up to 2 years. Under the legislation, communications providers are required to store details of their customers' phone calls, text messages, emails, and internet use and make them available to government authorities. As if this were not enough, it was announced in June 2010 that over 300 members of the European Parliament, or MEPs, were backing a plan for an even more massive data retention system that would force internet search engines to store details of web searches for up to 2 years for possible analysis by authorities. Whilst at the time of writing, the adoption of the MEP's written declaration for the plan had no immediate impact or force of law, it is a strong sign that, in its ongoing mission to turn Europe into a totalitarian society, the Brussels EU institutions will stop at nothing short of total violation of a civilian's civil rights. In early 2010, it emerged that large amounts of confidential, personal information about European citizens is being held on a giant Europe-wide computer network that can be accessed by more than 500,000 terminals. Known as the Schengen Information System, or SIS, the system holds a wide variety of personal data that includes the names, dates and places of birth, nationalities, physical characteristics and other details of people placed under discrete surveillance. Created following the implementation of the so-called Schengen Agreement, which in 1985, as a key step towards the creation of a European superstate, abolished checks at the internal borders of most Brussels EU member states, the system consists of a national section in each of the participating countries and a technical support function in Strasbourg, France. At the time of writing, an expanded SIS database known as SIS2 is expected to become operational in early 2013. And increase the number of alerts held on the system from 31 million to 70 million. However, an official European Commission working document envisages an even larger database and specifically states that the new system should be tested with a view to ensuring a scalability up to 100 million alerts. The Brussels EU is also spending millions of euros developing Orwellian computer technologies designed to examine CCTV images and search the internet for abnormal behaviour under a programme known as Project Indect. It is developing computer software to monitor and process information from websites, discussion forums, file servers, peer-to-peer networks, and even individual computers. Open Europe, an independent pro-transparency think tank, believes the information gathered by Project Indect could be used by the European Joint Situation Centre, CITSEN, a little-known body seen by many observers as effectively being the beginning of a Brussels EU secret service, part of the so-called European External Action Service, headed by Foreign Affairs Minister and Vice President of the EU Commission, Catherine Ashton, whose previous functions in the Brussels EU have included the enforcing of drug patents. CITSEN is already known to contain a cell of secret service agents seconded from European capitals. Investigation and prosecution programmes are now multiplying so rapidly in the Brussels EU, according to Stephen Booth, an Open Europe analyst, 17 law enforcement systems and databases currently operate or are being developed, of which 6 require the collection or storage of personal data at EU level. In June 2010, documents emerged regarding a Brussels EU mass surveillance project designed to compile information on individuals and groups deemed to be promoting radical messages. Obtained by Statewatch, a civil liberties body, the targets defined in the documents include people involved in anti-globalisation or nationalist groups. The specific types of surveillance outlined in the documents include the compiling of data on the targeted individual's friends, family, neighbours, internet use, psychological traits, religion, socio-economic status, and even oral comments, presumably obtained through phone tapping they've made on political issues. Based upon the content of these documents, it seems reasonable to presume that anybody who actively and openly opposes the takeover of Europe by corporate interests will henceforth be put under surveillance by the Brussels EU on the grounds that they are promoting a radical message. Perhaps even more disturbingly, however, and as we shall examine next, in the coming years, the Brussels EU will seemingly even be recording the political orientations of European citizens who sign petitions. The so-called European Citizens Initiative, ECI, approved by the European Parliament in December 2010, is deceptively promoted by the Brussels EU as, quote, a new form of public participation in European Union policy shaping, end quote. Brought in under the massively opposed and dictatorial Lisbon Treaty, the ECI attempts to portray the Brussels EU as a democracy that allows European citizens to call on the European Commission to bring forward political initiatives of interest to them. Behind the friendly-sounding political rhetoric, however, the reality is very different. Rather than allowing citizens' petitions to revise the dictatorial Brussels EU treaties, the ECI only permits them to contain, quote, proposals on matters where citizens consider that a legal act of the Union is required for the purpose of implementing the treaties, end quote. In other words, citizens' proposals that oppose any aspects of the Brussels EU treaties or which go against the values of the Brussels EU, which, let's not forget, are actually determined by the Brussels EU itself, will not be accepted. But that's not all. The ECI sets highly bureaucratic rules for their collection. So much so, in fact, that European campaign groups are already stating that it will be extremely difficult for petitions to be successfully completed under it. However, the most insidious aspect of the ECI is the insistence of the Brussels EU that all citizens' signatures have to be accompanied by, with slight variation depending upon the member state they come from, their full names, their full home addresses, their dates and places of birth, their nationalities, and their ID card numbers. As such, far from enabling public participation in European Union policy shaping, as is claimed, it can be seen that the real intention of the Brussels EU in setting up the ECI is to create a clandestine means of monitoring and recording the political beliefs of European citizens. In a scenario closely resembling the type of world depicted in George Orwell's classic novel 1984, a covert surveillance system that uses hidden microphones to monitor the public's conversations is now being used in several European cities. The technology called SIGARD is claimed to be able to anticipate antisocial behaviour by analysing the information picked up by its sensors. Privacy campaigners and civil liberties activists pointed out that there is enormous potential for abuse with this type of surveillance, in that by treating literally every ordinary citizen as a potential criminal, the system represents a massive step towards the creation of a totalitarian police state. Significantly, therefore, Sound Intelligence, the Dutch company responsible for producing the SIGARD technology, has even suggested that police cars could be fitted with microphones and cruise the city centres listening for signs of trouble. However, and as we shall see next, it's not only at ground level that the privacy of European citizens is being threatened. In future, European citizens may even be covertly monitored whilst they're travelling on aircraft. In 2010, it was announced that the Brussels EU is funding research at the Reading University in the UK, which aims to use a combination of cameras, microphones, computer systems and other devices to eavesdrop on the conversations of passengers and monitor their movements whilst flying. The funding of this work has quite rightly alarmed European civil liberties campaigners, who strongly oppose the ongoing development of the Brussels EU surveillance machine and its funding with taxpayers' money. In line with its ultimate goal of turning Europe into a totalitarian society and putting its citizens under total surveillance, the Brussels EU has also been supporting research into the commercial development of unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs. Thus far, reports suggest that at least a dozen projects relating to UAVs, or pilotless drone planes, have been funded, with more likely to follow. Of particular note in this respect is a project on the development of UAVs for the surveillance of urban areas. Known as the U-Drones project, the places cited as being relevant for the concept include public places and airports. Some Brussels EU member states are already moving ahead with preparations for UAV surveillance of their populations. In the UK, for example, the Ministry of Defence and the Home Office have both developed extensive UAV deployment plans, with preparations being made for unmanned drones to be used to support police operations and monitor civilians. In a little-known three-year study entitled Project Veronica, the Brussels EU has been planning for cars to be fitted with aircraft-style black boxes. The boxes, also known as event data recorders or EDRs, could monitor variables such as speed, when and how often the brakes, indicators and horn were applied and so on. Whilst it's claimed by the system's supporters that the main purpose of these boxes would be to enable insurance companies and the police to ascertain the causes of car accidents, the reality is that when combined with other tracking data, such as that from mobile phones and existing speed and traffic monitoring technologies, the boxes would enable the Brussels EU to gain almost total awareness of the movements of European citizens. A final report on Project Veronica was published in 2009 and recommended that the Brussels EU should introduce a directive for crash data recorders to be implemented for various classes of European vehicles and road users. Once these initial devices have been accepted by the public, however, plans to employ more highly intrusive technologies, such as journey data recorders, which can collect data during driving for monitoring purposes, seems likely to move ahead. A revealing news release published in late 2009 by Gersek and Devariant, a technology provider headquartered in Munich, Germany, appears to suggest that the Brussels EU is moving towards imposing a system of biometric cataloguing and identification of its citizens. outlining a European research venture known as Project Biopass, which it describes as the biggest chip card research project in the EU, the news release summarises the project's goal as being the introduction of an electronic ID card in chip card format valid throughout the entire EU. In addition to its function as a basic ID card, however, the card is also apparently intended to provide a secure means of authentication for services offered by governments and public authorities, with Biopass holders able to identify themselves electronically and carry out biometric authentication on the internet. Reading between the lines, the project's ultimate objective appears to be for European citizens to be required to use the card for everything from registering a change of address, registering a vehicle, filling a tax return, and casting a vote in elections, to accessing services provided by the retail, banking, and insurance sectors. More worryingly, however, is the possibility that European citizens will eventually face the nightmare scenario of their DNA, fingerprints, and personal details being available at the click of a button to the Brussels EU. Worse still, decisions on the expansion of so-called homeland security in the Brussels EU are seemingly being made by the very companies that will ultimately profit from them. According to the UK-based civil liberties monitoring group Statewatch, the design of the €1.4 billion European Security Research Programme, or ERSP, has been outsourced to the very corporations that have the most to gain from its implementation, such as the defence companies Thales, Finn McKenna, EADS, Saab, and Sagem Defence Securité. End of chapter 5.